Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, this week we are going to talk about a challenging topic. And it's a topic that has been in the media pretty broadly for the past three or four months. But it's an issue that's been around for a long time.
Right.
And we've talked about talking about it. Yes.
But we weren't sure how to approach it. We weren't sure whether to approach it because 2 months ago it was still very much an unfolding story.
Right.
So we didn't know where, we didn't have a clear idea of where it was going to end up.
Right. What was going to, you're right.
Right. Right. And so we weren't exactly sure about what perspective, what angle we wanted to take, or whether we should take one at all, because we had no idea where it was going to go.
At least on the podcast.
Right. At least here.
Right. Right.
However, over the past couple of months, it has taken shape, and I think perhaps it's time for us to weigh in on it.
Yes, and I think that many more people are asking questions about it.
Exactly.
Many more people are coming to sessions and talking about it. So, yes, I think it's time. And there was a pretty specific reason why you...
Right.
When we were talking the other day, you mentioned that you felt like it was time.
Right. To me, it was time because I received a letter. It was actually a blog post from a person I know who has recently come out. I'm not sure that's the right term. I don't mean sexually come out. I mean, she has told her story.
Right.
Of being sexually harassed, that's the topic, of being sexually harassed, and she has been she has kept this to herself for 9 years, 9 or 10 years now, and that's part of the problem,
right.
Is that the women who have been molested, abused, or assaulted have had to stay silent, but felt that they had to stay silent because they had no place to go. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through the week. But this person is a classic example of that, a person who was molested as a youngster and wasn't able to do anything about it, was powerless to do anything about it, has finally come out now and told her story. And after reading her story, it emboldened me to say, perhaps it's time that we... discuss this, open this up for discussion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it is time. I think it's an important topic because of some of the implications. Mm-hmm. And, we have talked about it together a number of times because of some of our experiences in our profession, people who we have worked with, and we've commented multiple times about how surprising it is at the prevalence of some of these things, the prevalence of abuse and harassment. And I think it's time. And so we're going to start out this week with today's podcast, sort of just kind of building a background, little bit of history, and then we're going to work through throughout the course of the week, talk about the current movement. I have to admit that I'm a little bit hesitant to call it a movement because to me it's, there are certainly people out there who have been advocating and talking about and pushing this for decades. It's not like there's this new issue.
Right.
And again, that's part of the reason why we're talking about the history a little bit today, but it's really, people have been talking about this. I mean, this is an issue that has been around for a long, long time,
right.
And to call it a movement makes me just feel like we're
modernizing it and saying, oh, well, this is a brand new problem that we've never heard of before.
Yeah, this didn't emerge at the end of the last quarter of 2017.
Right.
I mean,
right.
this is a problem that started many, many years ago. The other reason that I think it's timely is when the accusations first started coming out, very early on, Al Franken was mm-hmm. accused.
Right.
Okay. And for those of us who have followed Al Franken's career, first as a comedian,
right,
and then as a politician, we have sort of these fond feelings toward Al Franken. And uh-huh. when he was accused, we thought, wow, is that really harassment? And he was an entertainer then. He wasn't mm-hmm. a politician. Is there a standard? But this gave me pause, because that's not what this issue is about.
Exactly. Right.
And that's what, excuse me, that's what the other reason why I think it's time to open up this
right.
thing for discussion.
Right.
Because while we might have some sympathy for some of the men who were accused, this is not about the men who were accused.
Right.
This is about a very long history of suppression
right.
of women, and women not having a voice
right.
and not being able to go anywhere with this.
Right. And there are such, it's such a spectrum
right.
of behaviors. And I think that it's important. You know, one of the things that I've certainly seen coming out more recently is the reminder that, you know, there is this broad continuum between mm-hmm. appropriate conversations
That's
about
right.
even about mm-hmm. sexual behaviors or attraction and things like that, yeah. all the way through to, you know,
to
the
rape.
Most right heinous
physical
forms
assault.
Of physical assault, right?
Right.
And so it's important that we keep those things in mind. And as some writers have recently pointed out, in very sometimes very eloquent ways and sometimes very direct and raw
right.
ways, you know, their sexual harassment is different than saying, "Hey, you look nice today." Those are two very, very different things. And you know, there have been people who have tried to say that, you know, with this new movement
mm-hmm.
That this takes away, you know, a person's
right.
Opportunity to compliment someone or to and it's, you know, that is such an issue. So,
well, the best advice one woman gave was, if you don't know the difference,
mm-hmm.
stay silent.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, stay silent.
Well, and the other thing is that someone else said, you know, if it's not something you would say with your wife present,
true.
Or with your significant other present,
mm-hmm.
don't say it.
That's probably a good rule of thumb.
And so, yeah, I mm-hmm. think that is a safe bet. But
right.
again, when we think about the history of sexual harassment, we're going to pull some information from this article posted actually a number of years ago by the National Organization for Women. We have two articles linked in the show notes. One is for this particular article, but the other is to Yale Law
mm-hmm.
That is a little bit more detailed history. So you can check that
right.
out if you'd like. But
mm-hmm.
this issue has been around hundreds of years.
It has been.
Really, longer than that, even.
Probably longer than that, because many of the...
Hundreds of years in the United States. Most of this
exactly.
is talking about the United States. So it's been around, present in the United States, since before the United States was
right.
the United States.
Right. And I think what we have to do is go back to some religious foundations,
right.
because the major Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are all very patriarchal.
Right.
Okay. And so everybody knows that. We're not bringing up anything new here, and it's not meant in any political or accusatory way. These are patriarchal religions.
Right.
And men have more rights than women
mm-hmm.
in most of these religions, certainly in the Catholic Church. You know,
right.
Women can't even be clergy. And so it begins with that there is this division, this
right.
dichotomy. And it moves into economics.
Right.
So we go from religious foundations to economic reality.
Right.
Okay. And for a very long time, women were not allowed to own property,
mm-hmm.
or they were in jobs where they were second class. They weren't
mm-hmm.
allowed to own property. They weren't allowed to be managers. They weren't allowed to
right.
be leaders. And so they were always in a subservient. They were subservient to men.
Right.
And many women found themselves in a position of having to be employed, And so there was two ways to do that. One was marriage, and the other was prostitution.
Right.
I mean, you had to exchange.
Right.
There had to be some sort of exchange here because you couldn't be in charge.
Right.
Religious or economic, you couldn't be in charge. So you had to exchange yourself for for money.
Security.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and we see that play out in colonial days. We see it play out in the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
Certainly these impoverished women, women and men, but impoverished women would come here and they would have to work in menial tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, many of them at a subsistence level.
Right.
And they had to tolerate whatever was dished out because they needed the job.
Absolutely.
Whether it was occurring in a mine or a factory or a house. Certainly the whole history of slavery is one of taking advantage of women. Women had no... female slaves had no rights. They were treated as property. So we have this long history of exploitation of women.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that because of that, and I read an interesting post on... And I'm, honestly, the reason that I didn't include it in the show notes is because... I'm still working my way through it because it's a really long, detailed post that was posted on someone's Patreon page. But one of the points that she makes is the relationship between, you know, the idea of the glass ceiling, right? We have the glass ceiling, and the pointing out that many times women who are working their way through a company, once they experience sexual harassment, if they haven't had a voice, if they don't feel as though they can do anything about it, they often quit. Instead of saying something, they quit.
Right.
And so because of that, women have often failed to have the opportunity to work their way up to management positions or leadership positions because they don't stay at a job long enough because these sexual harassment behaviors happen.
Right.
And that...
That's true. So that statistic falls out of the picture.
Right.
We don't have any way of tracking that.
Right. Right. You
know, women who just quit because they get discouraged.
Exactly. You know, they become sort of under management, you know, shift managers and things like that. So they're not at the top of the managerial food chain, but you know, as soon as they get there, and if they're experiencing some of these harassing behaviors, you know, they end up quitting, and so they don't ever have the opportunity to move up.
And they would become part of the statistic of sexual harassment, but we lose those data.
Right, we lose that data. So, yeah.
Well, the most dramatic, severe, heart-rending case of sexual harassment reported in history was a woman by the name of Hester Vaughn. I think her first name was Hester. Yes, Hester Vaughn. 1868, so right after the Civil War.
Right.
She's a recent immigrant from England, impoverished. She had come here. She married a man, came here, found out he was a bigamist, so she was left, and he went back to his first wife.
Yeah.
So she was left on her own, scraping by, got a job as a domestic.
Right.
Within a few years, found herself pregnant as a young, probably young teenager, young woman. Found herself pregnant by the owner of the home.
Right. The person she worked for.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so he fired her.
Right.
And she had no other source of income. In those years, you either worked or there was no government programs to take care of people. And so she was pregnant, lived in this dingy little hovel, and gave birth to the baby, and the baby died. The authorities found her and the baby. She was arrested for infanticide and sentenced to death.
Yeah.
And the only thing that saved her life was a woman's movement at the time. Some early feminists got together and took to the streets and demanded that she not be punished, that she be released, and was pardoned by the governor, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that saved her life.
Right.
So talk about, I mean, this dramatizes the plight of women, not only their employment plight, but their legal plight.
Absolutely. Okay?
And so this is I think, the most tragic or the most heart-rending notion of this.
One of the early ones, right? And over the course of the over the years, you know, we have certainly different examples of harassment, and but it wasn't until what the mid 1970s that the word sexual harassment.
Yeah, it was 1970 something. Yeah, 1975.
That the word harassment was ever even
that's right
coined.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it continued to be a problem. And what's fascinating to me is that, again, over the years, we have claims of sexual harassment and things like that come up. But while they sort of were flashes in the pan, mm-hmm. you know, they quickly get right. dismissed and moved
that's
aside.
Right.
You know, I think about the claims, what was it in the 90s? Was it with the Supreme Court Justice? And the woman
Clarence
that,
Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
And Anita Hill. Right.
And you think about that whole situation. I mean, that was like a huge story. And then it just kind of went away, and he continued to be the Supreme Court Justice. And
you're right. That's what, you go back to 1868, and you have these women take to the streets.
Right.
Then you don't hear anything about it.
Right.
Then you go to the 1920s, and you go to the 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 right. made discrimination in the workplace illegal. But you really didn't hear anything
right.
about it. And then you go up to the 1970s, and this whole, the phrase sexual harassment was coined mm-hmm. at Cornell University mm-hmm. because a woman there, her name was Carmita Wood, I think she was an office worker, secretary or something. She was being sexually mm-hmm. harassed, and she asked to be transferred.
Right.
And the university refused, and
right.
And she was left. She was left as a victim.
Yeah.
And so women at the university supported her, and one of the women invented the word sexual harassment
right.
to explain
right.
Her plight.
Yeah.
So that was in the 1970s.
Right.
But again, like you say, it's 1991 before this issue comes up again, or at least most of us hear about it, and that was with the Anita Hill,
right.
The Clarence Thomas hearings. Also in 1991, you have Anita Hill saying mm-hmm. that, and of course she was discredited. And,
right.
Okay. The Civil Rights Act was amended, and it was amended to allow women to seek legal action,
right.
Jury trials for punitive damages if they were sexually harassed. So in 1991, you have 6,000 cases that are brought to
right.
trial. And $7 million was awarded. By 1996, you have 15,000. So
right.
it's more than double in a five-year period,
right.
$27 million. However, by 20, then again, you have this lull.
Right.
And we get up to 2013.
Well, I think in the mid-90s, we had the whole thing with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
So again, but interestingly, that... I mean, there was absolutely a sexual harassment tone
element,
to that,
sure.
But it really became something very, very different. It became more. It was much more about him
right.
than it was about the victims.
Right.
You know,
That's right.
What happened with mm-hmm. the women and everything.
Right.
You know, certainly the women were speaking out about it and talking mm-hmm. about it, but as far as the media and most people are concerned. They were primarily focused on the president, not
right.
on the women.
And you talk, the argument always is, well, it was consensual.
Right.
The American Psychiatric Association probably, must be 20 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
at least 10 years ago, came out with a statement that said, it is never okay to have a relationship with a patient. It used
right.
to be that so many years had to go by.
Right.
The American Psychiatric Association said it is never ethical.
Right.
It's never allowable to have it. And the reason is it's never an equal relationship. It can never be
right.
an equal relationship. Once you have a parent, a doctor-patient relationship,
mm-hmm.
you can't turn it into something else. It
right.
will always be
right.
uneven. And so the argument that it was consensual, if there's a power differential,
right.
it can never really be consensual.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the whole consensual argument has
right.
nothing to do with it anymore. If there's a power differential, somebody's being exploited.
Right,
okay.
right. But again, there was this lull in reports about
right.
sexual harassment for almost a decade
yeah.
or two until 2013.
By 2013, something like 5 to 15% of women are taking sexual harassment cases to court.
Right.
Only it did this very tiny group.
Right.
And of that, only half of them were judged to be in favor of women.
Right. Okay.
And so even by 2013, the other thing that I wanted to mention is there was a show on TV called Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
You probably watched it.
I didn't watch it, but I know about it.
You know about mm-hmm. it. There were three things in Mad Men that were striking. I didn't watch. I watched a couple of parts of several episodes. Number one, they smoked everywhere.
Right.
This was an ad company that had tobacco companies.
From the 19... And this was... The,
50s
it was
and
set
60s.
In the 50s and 60s.
Mostly
right.
the 60s. And so that was one. Second, they drank in their offices. They mm-hmm. had bottles of whiskey on display in
right.
their offices. And the third thing is the women were objects. I mean,
right.
those were the three things. So it was tobacco, alcohol and sex.
Right.
I mean, the women were exploited. They mm-hmm. they dressed in exploitive ways. They were exploited by the men. And there was this expectation
right.
that women would do what they were told.
Right.
Especially the office staff.
Right.
There weren't that many other advertisers. They were all men.
Right.
Mad men.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was in the 60s. And so you see this this ethic, this norm. This
mm-hmm.
is the way, this is just the way things were.
Right.
And boys grew up
right.
in the 60s and 70s. Assuming that this is how the world worked.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so you get all the way up to 2013 and you still have women in this position where they have no voice. Prior, I think we're probably getting ahead of ourselves, but we're going to talk about 1997,
right.
which is another pivotal year
right.
with Naomi Judd.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah, we'll
talk
get into
about that.
That
another day.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's pretty recent
right.
that this, movement, though it has a very long history of subjugation, exploitation of women,
mm-hmm.
Finally begins to emerge
right. Right.
in this millennium, in the 2000s.
Right. Yeah. So in tomorrow's podcast, we're going to bring it up to date for the most part,
right.
And talk about mm-hmm. the Me Too movement,
right.
And we're going to talk about how it has its roots in that 1997 Naomi Judd situation, and kind of talk about, you know, how it came to be that this group of women were the Time Magazine People of the Year
right.
For last year. And we'll talk about that.
You know who we didn't mention in the years leading up to 2000? And he just died this year, last year. Hugh Hefner.
Oh, yeah.
And the role that mm-hmm. that played.
Right.
And that was in the 50s again. It
yeah.
was in that time where women were very much
right.
Objects.
So, yeah. So
interesting footnote.
Exactly. So this is a bit of a challenging topic, but we're going to kind of walk through different aspects of it throughout the course of the week. And so if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, perspectives about it, we would love mm-hmm. to hear from you. We would be happy to have a conversation about some of these things.
Right.
Here we are, two guys talking about this, and so certainly there are perspectives that that we just don't have because we are two guys talking about this.
Two white men, and I guess some might take us to two white men talking about this kind of an issue, but I think we're talking about it from a certain perspective.
Right.
And we want to open up the discussion,
yeah.
and we welcome, as always, we welcome comments. And criticisms.
Absolutely.
From listeners and viewers.
Absolutely. So, all right, that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.